Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, June 1st, 2020. Coming up this hour.
Protests hammer cities across the country following the death of George Floyd.
Violent clashes include vandalism, torch police cars, and thousands of arrests.
As tensions rise, President Trump meets with governors, law enforcement, and national security officials.
A fourth day of protests against police brutality kept New York City on edge. Plus, New Jersey will reopen sectors of the state from the coronavirus lockdown. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. NBA players react to the protests and a response for the baseball players as they try to make a labor deal with owners.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com to learn more.
U.S. futures are slightly lower to start the week. 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 13 points, Dow futures down 91, Nasdaq futures down 65. No trading in Germany today. The CAC in Paris is up 0.9%, and so is the FTSE 100. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 0.65%, yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1% or 36 cents at $35.14 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $3.10 at $17.48.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1114 against the dollar. The yen 107.61. This data check brought to you by SEI. Since its founding 50 years ago, SEI has provided investment managers and asset owners with robust infrastructure platforms and flexible outsourcing solutions. Go to SEIC.com/IMS. Nathan.
Karen, we're coming off the sixth day of protests in cities across the country. That's the sound of police in Minneapolis firing flashbangs last night to disperse protesters after the city's curfew went into effect. Meantime, in New York City, demonstrations continued for a fourth day. There were peaceful demonstrations across the city, interspersed with some violent clashes that included vandalism, torched police cars, and dozens of arrests. It was a similar scene in Boston. Peaceful rallies turned violent as protesters hit police with bottles, damaged vehicles, and looted stores throughout Downtown Crossing and the Back Bay. Demonstrators took to the streets in dozens of cities, including Chicago and Los Angeles, to protest the death of George Floyd at the hands of a Minneapolis police officer.
At the same time in Washington,
no peace! No peace!
Chance of no justice, no peace, heard as part of demonstrations outside the White House. For the very latest, we bring in Amy Morris from our Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Angry protesters took over the streets of Washington, D.C. last night, some of them setting fires, vandalizing buildings and cars, and looting just blocks from the White House. Historic St. John's Church outside the White House was vandalized and set on fire. Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser activated the National Guard. The Justice Department has now deployed the U.S. Marshals Service and agents from the Drug Enforcement Administration to supplement those National Guard troops outside the White House. Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Unrest across the country took center stage on the Sunday talk shows.
Let's come together. Let's be prayerful, especially on a Sunday morning, about how we can put our differences aside, because this is the greatest country in the world, and we want to live up to the legacy of America.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on ABC's This Week, where we also heard from Minnesota Representative Ilhan Omar.
We are living in a country that has a two-tiered justice system, and people are tired of people are sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Omar says the latest examples of police brutality against African Americans are shocking but typical.
We are living in a country that has truly, for a long time, brutalized African Americans.
And President Trump's head of national security says the White House stands in solidarity with George Floyd. National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien blames violent protests on Antifa, a loosely organized movement that is a frequent target of conservative critics.
It's the violent Antifa radical militants that are coming out under cover of night, traveling across state lines, using military-style tactics to burn down our cities. And they're especially targeting the most vulnerable parts of our cities.
Now, there were no public remarks from President Trump over the weekend, though he was active on Twitter, saying he'll label Antifa a domestic terrorist organization. He threatened protesters with tweets about vicious dogs and ominous weapons and blamed liberal governors and mayors for the unrest. The president plans to meet with Attorney General William Barr today before convening a teleconference with governors, law enforcement, and national security officials. There are currently no public remarks on the president's schedule.
The president's comments on Twitter are not helping the situation, according to D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser.
I think that the president has a responsibility to help calm the nation, and he can start by not sending divisive tweets that are meant to hearken to the segregationist past of our country.
Speaking on NBC's Meet the Press, Mayor Bowser singled out the president's tweet about vicious dogs as a reference to segregationists that let dogs out on women and children in the South. Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms also took issue with the president's comments. She spoke on Face the Nation from CBS.
What I'd like to hear from the president is leadership, and I would like to hear a genuine care and concern for our communities and where we are with race relations in America.
This week, Meet the Press and Face the Nation can all be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
Now, despite the protests, U.S. futures had been gaining overnight. Now they're lower after a Bloomberg News exclusive on the state of trade relations between the U.S. and China. Sources say the Chinese government is telling state-run agriculture companies to pause purchases of U.S. farm goods. The move is said to be tied to Beijing evaluating the ongoing escalation of tensions over Hong Kong.
At the same time, China is accusing the U.S. of undermining bilateral relations and, quote, disregarding facts when it comes to Hong Kong. Beijing says any words or actions that hurt China's interests will be met with firm counterattacks. Futures this morning are lower, with S&P futures down 10 points, Dow futures down 70, NASDAQ futures down 56, and NYMEX crude oil at $35.14 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Thousands of people marched in New York City yesterday over the death of George Floyd. Many protesters and officers tried to keep the peace after days of unrest that left police cars burned and hundreds of people under arrest. However, last night, some stores were looted, including high-end stores in Soho. The NYPD believes violence has been deliberately stirred up by outside groups trying to hijack the protests. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo called for protesters to use common sense.
That violence never works. How many protests have we had? How many nights have we gone through like last night?
Over 30 NYPD officers were hurt over the weekend. Cuomo says the National Guard is on standby. Yesterday, thousands of people marched through multiple neighborhoods, chanting, kneeling in the street, and falling silent for a minute in front of the police station in Times Square to remember the people killed by police. Mayor Bill de Blasio says he has no plans to impose a curfew.
When you add up how many things were happening in how many places all over the city, it says something about New York City. It says something about the people of New York City. It says something about the NYPD, that thank God there was no loss of life. There were no major injuries.
De Blasio also reacted to a video of two police cruisers plowing into protesters in Brooklyn, saying, "I didn't like what I saw one bit." Among the hundreds of protesters arrested over the weekend was Mayor de Blasio's 25-year-old daughter. Kiara de Blasio was arrested for unlawful assembly with a group of protesters at 12th Street near Broadway. She was given a desk appearance ticket. The number of COVID-19 cases in New York State continues to decline. Governor Cuomo.
The net change in hospitalizations down again, intubations down again, number of new deaths still dropping.
There were 56 new deaths reported in New York State from the coronavirus. In New Jersey, more businesses in the state under lockdown can begin reopening soon. The governor said horse racing can begin as soon as next week, while child care centers can open on June 15th. In Connecticut, hair salons and barbershops are reopening today. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, it's the start of a big week. If baseball is to come to an agreement on how much players should make in a shortened season without fans. Last week was the owner's proposal, loudly panned by players who are now making their pitch back. The details do not sound like something that will lead to a deal. They want full pay for the games being played. They admit pay for those making $10 million a year or more can be deferred, but only if the postseason can't be played and the payback should come with interest. They say if a player chooses not to play due to concerns about the virus, they should still get paid. They want more games, expanded playoffs for 2021 as well. They pitch ideas to make baseball more popular, like an off-season all-star game and players mic'd up during games. But if there are no games in 2020 because of money, baseball figures to become significantly less popular in the years ahead. Some athletes part of the weekend-long protest. The Celtics' Jaylen Brown drove 15 hours to his native Georgia to protest in Atlanta. Michael Jordan, for so long criticized for not speaking out about non-basketball issues, released a statement, said he's pained, saddened, and angry. Thabo Sefolosha of the Houston Rockets said George Floyd could have been him. Sefolosha in 2015 was wrongly attacked by New York police outside a Manhattan nightclub. They broke his leg. He sued, settled for $4 million. NASCAR, Bristol, Tennessee. The winner, just like last week, Brad Keselowski. That's because the leaders, Chase Elliott and Joey Logano, crashed with a lap to go. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
And John, this would have been a big week in the sports world. In addition to the NBA and NHL playoffs, the final leg of racing's Triple Crown was supposed to have happened on Saturday, but for the coronavirus. Instead, the Belmont Stakes will be the Triple Crown's first race this year. It'll take place June 20th with no fans. The second week of the French Open would have had fourth-round matches, quarterfinals, semifinals, and the finals all this week. S&P futures lower by 8 points, Dow futures down 47, so are NASDAQ futures. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Anshin. COVID-19 impacts your business, and Anshin accountants and advisors are here to help navigate the growing relief and resources available to your business. Visit Anshin.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are falling after Chinese officials told agriculture companies to pause imports of some American farm goods. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 7.5 points. Dow futures down 48. NASDAQ futures down 45. European shares are climbing along with the euro, with the FTSE 100 is up 1.1%. The CAC in Paris is up 1.1%. And there's no trading in Germany today. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd yield, 0.65%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.16%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.25% or 44 cents at $35.05 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.25% or $4.70 at $17.46.90 an ounce. The euro 1.1109 against the dollar. British pound 1.2383 and the yen 107.69. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, tens of thousands of protesters have again taken to the streets across America. Peaceful demonstrations yesterday against police killings of black people have been overshadowed by unrest that quickly ravaged cities from Philadelphia to Los Angeles. A truck driver drove into demonstrators in Minneapolis, where George Floyd died after a white police officer put his knee on his neck for more than 8 minutes. Outside the White House, police fired tear gas and stun grenades into a crowd who lit fires in a street. Thieves in more than 20 California cities smashed into businesses and ran off with cell phones and TVs. Atlanta's mayor says two police officers have been fired and three others placed on desk duty over excessive use of force during a weekend protest incident. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio. Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And Jim Paulson is with us now, Chief Investment Officer at Luthold Wieden Capital Management. It's interesting, Jim, as trading began overnight, investors appeared to be looking past all the unrest in the United States until that report came from Bloomberg News this morning that China is considering a pause on U.S. farm imports. What do you make of the market focus at this moment?
A lot of issues going on, Nathan. It's just unbelievable. But I really think that when you take the economy down, you know, I don't know what GDP will be in the second quarter, but down 30% or 40% or who knows what the numbers will be, and the unemployment rate approaches 20%, the biggest thing in the room has got to be what's going on around the economy being turned off or being turned back on. And I really think that you look at all the issues that are going on right now, you wonder why the market is holding in here at all. But I think that's because there's such a big issue with the economy being turned back on. The virus curve has been bent nearly everywhere across the globe at the moment. And we're starting to see economic activities restart. Now, they've been set back with the protests, but nonetheless, there's restart going on, and you can see the economic data starting to bounce here, and even in China, giving an early example of how fast it could bounce, and I think that's keeping a bit under this stock market, even though it's facing so many issues far beyond the shutdown of the economy to Chinese unrest and to American unrest across American cities. So I think it's still mostly about the economy going into a deep fall and coming back out of it.
Of course, a lot of this unrest is happening right at your doorstep. You're based in Minneapolis, and now with all these protests happening, it's raising the possibility that we could exacerbate the potential for a second wave of infection with protesters, particularly ones in some of the demographics hardest hit by this pandemic, getting out in close proximity. I mean, what does this mean for the potential for an economic recovery here?
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, we've watched massive crowds that are abandoned social distancing. There's no doubt about that going on. So it'll be hard to know what the impact of that will be down the road here, whether we'll have another virus outbreak. I also wonder if it's just seasonal a little bit here too, Nathan, where the going into the summer, the virus calms down a bit, and we may be seeing that across the country right now, and maybe it'll come back in the fall. I would say this, though. I think that the hospital capacity and the ability of the country to respond to a respike in viruses again is much improved from what it was when it first showed up. And also, we know sort of where the lethality of this virus is among older individuals and those with health compromises. And I think we can be more protective of that and put a ring around that. So I really think we're better equipped at this point to handle a respike in virus. I'm not sure, while it wouldn't be good, I'm not sure it would necessarily completely shut down the economy again.
Are you advising your clients to do anything differently with their investments, given all the exogenous factors out there right now?
Well, I think there's two things that can be tilted on the bullish side here, primarily. Mm-hmm. There still is just a high level of fear, anxiousness, which tells me that there's a lot of portfolios that are underinvested in risk, overinvested in defensive assets like cash and bonds and gold. And that is typically a good thing for the stock market. Whenever you are in the midst of a recession, if you knew you were in a recession, it was almost always a good time to buy stocks. And whenever there's great fear about the future, they're probably under discounting the more positive outcomes. And then we have just massive policy support, which just goes on unrelenting in the background, from monetary and fiscal stimulus to extremely low interest rates. I think you have to continue to remain tilted bullishly. So I think it's a barbell approach right now, and equity portfolios make sense. Stay with the new era kind of high growth companies, but on weak market days, add some more cyclicality, small cap, cyclical sector, and international stocks.
All right, Jim. Thank you, as always, and stay safe, please. Jim Paulson is Chief Investment Officer at Luthold Wieden Capital Management, based out of Minneapolis. Futures this morning are moving lower, and you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And at 6:25 on Wall Street, straight ahead, we're going to have details on the protests gripping the country, plus a full check of the markets and all the latest business headlines as we get this new trading month started. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date in the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower after the 6 day of protests in cities across the country. Police in Minneapolis fired flash bangs last night to disperse protesters after the city's curfew went into effect. Meantime, in New York City, demonstrations continued for a fourth day. There were peaceful demonstrations across the country, interspersed with violent clashes. Demonstrators took to the streets in dozens of cities, including Chicago and L.A., to protest the death of George Floyd at the hands of a Minneapolis police officer.
Chicago planned to lift coronavirus restrictions this week, but that may be delayed now due to the protests. Demonstrations are adding to what's already a tense environment in many parts of the country. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker.
We have communities all around the state that are desperately trying to recover from the damage that this virus has done. And I'm imploring people to not force a difficult second rebuilding on our small businesses in the course of expressing your very justified pain.
Chicago was set to start reopening Wednesday. Now, Mayor Lori Lightfoot is consulting with officials to reconsider the plan.
Despite the protests, U.S. futures had been gaining overnight. Now they're lower after a Bloomberg News exclusive on the state of trade relations between the U.S. and China. Sources say the Chinese government is telling state-run agriculture companies to pause purchases of U.S. farm goods. The move is said to be tied to Beijing evaluating the ongoing escalation of tensions over Hong Kong.
At the same time, China is accusing the U.S. of undermining bilateral relations and, quote, disregarding facts when it comes to Hong Kong. President Trump last week moved to rescind the city's special trading status. China says the measure would gravely interfere with China's internal affairs. Beijing says any words or actions that hurt China's interests will be met with firm counterattacks.
And again, futures are lower this morning with S&P futures down 7.5 points, Dow futures down 42, NASDAQ futures down 49. No trading in Germany today. The FTSE 100 is up 1.1% and the CAC in Paris up 1.2%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 0.65%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.16%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9% or 31 cents at $35.18 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $3.10 at $1,748.60 an ounce. The euro, 1.1114 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2386. And the yen is at 107.65. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right. Thank you, Karen. It is 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Stevens Institute of Technology. Be a leader in the digital transformation of any business sector with an online master's degree or graduate certificate in information systems. Visit stevens.edu/infosystems. Now here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Protests over the death of George Floyd in police custody stretched into a fourth day in New York City on Sunday after there was citywide vandalism. High-end stores in Soho were looted. Police cars were set ablaze and hundreds were arrested during several days of protests. Large crowds angry over the George Floyd death gathered peacefully for hours around New York City in the day. However, by the night, some clashes with police were reported, along with small street fires and looting. Mayor Bill de Blasio believes violence in New York City over the weekend was caused by outsiders hijacking peaceful protests over the police custody death of George Floyd. De Blasio said among the thousands of demonstrators who marched through the streets, there were those he called agitators.
The X factor here of a different kind of small set of, and I would call them not just protesters, but people who came to do violence in a systematic, organized fashion. That is a different reality we need to grapple with.
Police Commissioner Dermot O'Shea said his officers encountered some of the worst incidents on 125th Street in Harlem over the weekend and blame agitators who took over.
What we quickly identified, though, was a group within that used the 125th Street peaceful demonstration. I would liken it to hijacking a peaceful demonstration.
Close to three dozen officers sustained minor injuries. More than 300 protesters were arrested, including the 25-year-old daughter of Mayor de Blasio. Kiara de Blasio was given a desk appearance ticket. The number of COVID-19 cases in New York State continues to decline. Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Number of lives lost down to 56, which is, in this absurd reality we live in, actually very, very good news.
In New Jersey, more businesses in the state under lockdown can begin reopening soon. The governor said horse racing can begin as soon as next weekend, while child care centers can open on June 15th. In Connecticut, hair salons and barbershops are reopening today. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, last week we heard from the baseball owners their plan for a shortened 2020 season without fans. Players reacted quite negatively. The union now set to make its pitch significantly more games. MLB called for 82. The union wants 114. More games, more pay for them, but MLB feels the more games, the more money they'll lose. The only financial concession made by the players, an offer to defer some payments, but only if the postseason can't be played because of a second wave of the virus. Sounds as if the two sides are very far apart. Meanwhile, the latest team to announce layoffs and furloughs, the Arizona Diamondbacks, 25% of their staff. We've already seen the financially strapped Oakland A's say they can't afford to pay minor leaguers $400 a week. Pittsburgh Pirates stopped contributing to employees' 401k plans. Even big market teams like the Cubs, Dodgers, and Red Sox have cut employees' salaries. Yesterday was the two-year anniversary of the J.R. Smith brain freeze playing for Cleveland in the NBA Finals at Golden State. The former Knick grabbed a rebound with the score tied. Instead of shooting to try and win the game, he dribbled away, thinking the Cavs were ahead. Smith, who didn't play this season, is back in the news. The window of his truck was smashed during the protests in L.A., and Smith is seen in a TMZ video beating up the white man who he says did it. Smith was seen punching and kicking and later boasting about it. The English Premier League getting ready to resume its season. All 1,100 players got tested for the virus. None were positive. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Thank you.
All right, John, thanks. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Super spreaders could actually make COVID-19 easier to control. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. COVID-19 tends to spread in big bunches. Maybe you've heard about the choir practice north of Seattle, where 52 people were infected, or the guy at a fish factory in Ghana who reportedly infected 533 coworkers. This is scary, but most people who get the disease don't pass it on to dozens of others, and many don't pass it on to anyone. Several new studies indicate that about 10% of those infected with COVID-19 cause 80% of secondary transmissions. This skewed distribution does enable sudden, spectacular outbreaks of the disease. But we now know a lot about the conditions under which these super-spreading events happen, in crowded indoor spaces, often with lots of singing, yelling, or talking. Keep such events to a minimum, and it may be possible to defeat the disease. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It's 6:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Here's the latest Trump administration proposal to weaken environmental rules that protect national forests. Legal analysts and conservationists say a proposed U.S. Forest Service rule stands to weaken a check on oil and gas development by aligning the Forest Service's leasing practices with those of the Bureau of Land Management. The aim is to speed up fossil fuel development in national forests and grasslands nationwide. The proposed rule will guide potential future oil and gas leasing and development in all the national forests. Activists complain that any Trump administration push to expedite oil and gas development in national forests affects climate change and threatens drinking water in cities nationwide. Fracking, for example, can pollute surface and groundwater, and according to Forest Service data, drinking water for 180 million people in 68,000 communities nationwide originates in national forests. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thanks. Now some other stories we're following. The finance industry in New York City won't recover from the coronavirus for 6 years. That's according to a new study from software firm ThinkIQ, which ranks U.S. employment markets. The New York area has lost about 8% of its finance jobs this year. It hit a peak of more than 800,000 last August. Senior Facebook employees are criticizing Mark Zuckerberg. They went on Twitter to express their unhappiness that the CEO is not taking action on incendiary comments President Trump has posted on their social network. Last week, the president posted a Facebook message saying, quote, "When the looting starts, the shooting starts." Zuckerberg says he didn't slap a warning on it because people need to know if the government is planning military action. And Goldman Sachs says the U.S. labor market is showing the earliest signs of recovery. In a report to clients, economist John Hotsias wrote a drop in continued jobless claims, especially in states that reopened earlier than others, suggests rehiring by businesses may be starting to turn the tide. Futures are moving lower, pointing to a lower open on Wall Street this morning. S&P futures down 5 points, Dow futures down 24, NASDAQ futures down 47 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's just before 6:41 on Wall Street. Just ahead, a look at the political impact of days of violent protest across the country. Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter joins us next.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Stevens Institute of Technology. Be a leader in the digital transformation of any business sector with an online master's degree or graduate certificate in information systems. Visit stevens.edu/infosystems. U.S. stock index futures are lower after Chinese officials told agriculture companies to pause imports of some American farm goods. S&P futures down 5 points, Dow futures down 30, NASDAQ futures down 42. The FTSE 100 is up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 0.65%, yield on the 2-year 0.16%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.7% or 26 cents at $35.23 a barrel, and COMEX gold is down 0.25% or $4.20 at $17.47.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1107 against the dollar, the yen 107.72. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, protests have swept the United States in the last 6 days in the wake of George Floyd's death at the hands of police in Minnesota. Derek Chauvin, the officer arrested and charged for his part in the death of Floyd, was moved from the city jail in Minneapolis to another location. President Trump says that he was designating Antifa as a domestic terrorism organization after another night of violent protests. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's 6:48 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C., one of dozens of cities that have turned into scenes of upheaval as protests over the police killing of a black man in Minneapolis boil over. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi reacted to the death of George Floyd on ABC's This Week.
We saw an execution of a person on TV. We saw it happen. a knee to the neck.
White House National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien was on the same program. He says outside militant groups are taking advantage of the protests.
This is being driven by Antifa, and they did it in Seattle. They've done it in Portland. They've done it in Berkeley. This is a destructive force of radical. I don't even know if you want to call them leftists, whatever they are. They're militants who are coming in and burning our cities, and we're going to get to the bottom of it.
President Trump warned on Twitter that he'll label Antifa a domestic terrorist organization. He also threatened protesters outside the White House with tweets about vicious dogs and ominous weapons. Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser tells NBC's Meet the Press the president should be trying to calm the nation.
And he can start by not sending divisive tweets that are meant to hearken to the segregationist past of our country.
Meet the Press and This Week can be heard every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio, along with Fox News Sunday and CBS's Face the Nation. On this morning after, we're joined by Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter. And, you know, it's remarkable to hear from the mayor of the nation's capital rebuking the president for his rhetoric. We also heard on that show from the mayor of Atlanta, Keisha Lance Bottoms, essentially saying, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. It's a pretty extraordinary statement from mayors to a president of the United States.
Yes, absolutely, Nathan. And I think that what we're really seeing here is, you know, some increased acrimony, you know, between these heads of local government and the president, given how the president has approached these protests that we've seen really take off over the weekend in basically every major U.S. city. So I think it's not surprising that the mayors that are dealing directly with these protests are, you know, hitting back the way that they are, especially given what Trump's rhetoric has been and the criticism by some, I think, of Trump's rhetoric, which, you know, people say is actually potentially doing more to kind of incite the violence or at least incite the unrest than to really try to quell it.
Now, I don't know if there's any more stark mental image than the one we heard just this morning from Amy Morris in our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom of fires reported at St. John's Church, the Church of Presidents, right across the street from the White House, just part of the major violence we've seen, as you mentioned, in cities across this country. What can we expect to happen further, given that what we've heard from the president so far, at least seen on his Twitter feed, is to take such a hard line?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's not a real reason to think that things are going to calm down, you know, anytime soon. It seems like the president's strategy has been to kind of continue to keep this an issue, in some ways potentially to even fan the flames. You know, we saw that even from his designation of Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization last night, a move that I think really amounts to being pretty much a symbolic move. There's a lot of sense that that's not going to have a whole lot of practical consequence. But, you know, it does kind of underscore the Trump administration's response here, which has been to characterize these protests as being fueled by, you know, far left extremist groups. We saw Attorney General William Barr giving a press conference on Saturday to that effect. And I think that that is going to do very little, you know, to say the least, to kind of calm down what's gone on over the weekend. And so I think that it's hard to imagine that, you know, this week is going to bring any kind of swift resolution. And we could see these types of protests continue.
And it harks in a lot of ways back to what we heard from the president in the 2016 campaign, taking a hard line, and that inaugural speech about American carnage. And before that, the president positioning himself as the person who alone can fix it. Although it's a lot different now to be able to say that as you're coming into office, as opposed to trying to hold on to an office. And, you know, in a typical reelection campaign, you'd be trying to build on the positives. And it doesn't seem at this moment like there are many.
Well, and I think that that is a sort of facet of Trump's presidency that we've seen time and time again, is when he feels as though he's a bit on the ropes. We see him going back to his 2016 playbook, whether that means, you know, limiting, you know, taking a harder line, at least rhetorically, or if not policy-wise, on immigration, you know, or, you know, picking fights with China. We tend to see him, you know, go back to those aspects of his 2016 campaign, those campaign planks of his platform that worked for him that time around. I think it's similar when it comes to this issue. You know, we saw him in 2016 in his acceptance speech at the Republican convention declare himself the law and order president. I think that that is what he's really kind of going back to and placing emphasis on in terms of his approach to these protests. But as you point out, you know, it is a different equation when you've been in office for 3.5 years than when you're casting yourself as an outsider who can come in and fix all this. It's a lot harder to say that, you know, there's this in 2016, this argument was always kind of cloaked in the idea that the Obama administration had failed on these points. And so I think that, you know, whether this strategy works for Trump this time around remains a very, very open question.
Does this take some attention, though, off the response to the coronavirus that the president had taken a lot of criticism for in the past, particularly in his rhetoric toward the pandemic?
Well, I think it certainly can, and I think certainly that's going to be the Trump administration's hope right now, or the White House's hope right now, is that this does deflect some attention away from Trump's coronavirus response, which, you know, has been pretty widely panned. I think it's important to remember that, you know, these protests are happening at a time and have really taken over the news narrative at a time when, you know, 1,000 Americans on average are still dying daily from the coronavirus. And so I think that, you know, if you're the Trump administration or, you know, if you're Trump campaign advisors and looking at the reelection, you know, if that's your focus, then I think that talking about anything other than the coronavirus and the Americans that are dying and the people that have lost their jobs is definitely, you know, a smart strategy. And so I think that is part of what's happening here is we're seeing, you know, kind of this focus by Trump campaign advisors and Trump himself on, you know, talking about something other than the virus.
All right. Thank you, as always, Kate. That's Bloomberg U.S. politics editor Kathleen Hunter. And you can read much more on all this at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 6:55 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology and the NJ Scholar Corps program, incentivizing residents who attend college out of state to come home and finish their degree in New Jersey. Learn more at njit.edu/NJComeHome. Now, with what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math, here's John Tucker.
For the first time, humans have traveled to a commercially developed spacecraft. Two American astronauts boarded the International Space Station from a SpaceX capsule, forging a new era for NASA and Elon Musk. The Dragon craft carrying the two astronauts arrived at the orbiting lab at 10:16 a.m. Eastern Time Sunday, about 19 hours after lifting off from the Kennedy Space Center. Now, the milestone flight is the first American astronauts have flown from U.S. soil since the space shuttle program ended in 2011. The achievement comes 18 years after Musk founded Space Exploration Technologies with the ultimate goal of populating other planets. And Apple is set to reopen its biggest stores in Japan from midday on Wednesday, bringing its physical retail network back online in one of its biggest markets. Shuttered after the coronavirus outbreak forced a series of restricted measures across the country, Apple stores in three shopping districts are reopening their doors this week. And a scientific team exploring underwater canyons off the coast of Western Australia recently discovered a gigantic swirling sea creature that measured at least 150 feet long. According to the New York Times, it's a synfofore, an organism made up of millions of tiny clones clustered together in colonies that form one mega animal. And that is today's Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures down 3 points this morning. Dow futures down 2. NASDAQ futures down 36, so they are trimming their declines. The 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 0.65%. Straight ahead, it's Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.